Welcome to the Punk Rock MBA Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty. This is the Punk Rock MBA Podcast. Well, kind of. Today's episode is a repost of an appearance that I did. Appearance sounds douchey, but whatever. You know what I mean. I was on another podcast called My Top 5, which is now on the same podcast network as us, Sound Talent Media. So thought we would do a little cross-collaboration promotional kind of thing to help out a new show on the network that we think is pretty awesome. The format of the show is very simple. Every week they have somebody come on. They've had me, I think like Alex from A Day to Remember was on there. People like that come on and talk about their top five anything in any category. So of course, you know what I picked? My top five favorite MTV shows. I won't spoil what those are, but if you like MTV and reality shows as much as I do, then you are going to like this one. Stick around and make sure that you check out my top five if you like this kind of conversation. There will be a link to that in the show notes. You can also just, you know, search for my top five wherever you get your podcasts. So check them out. This was a super fun one. Before we get into it, I wanted to mention a few ways that you can promote the show if you would like to. Number one, share it on social media. That really helps us a lot. Tag me, tag the guest. Does a lot to help spread the word about the show. Number two, if you really, really like us, you can support us on Patreon. Patrons get every podcast a week early. There's a members-only private Discord server that I'm in all the time that has gotten quite active, which is really cool to see. I've started doing giveaways. You get 20% off merch. There's a way to have me review your podcast or music or video or artwork or anything else like that. So if that sounds cool to you, you can check out the link to the Patreon in the show notes. And with that out of the way, let's get into this episode. If you are listening to this show, then chances are that you like music interview shows. So I wanted to just take a minute to tell you about the Pure Pleasure podcast hosted by Dewey Halpas from Portugal the Man, Anatomy of a Ghost, and The Burning Room. This is where he sits down with some people that I think you will like from the music industry and just entertainment industry in general to talk shop and have cool conversations with cool people about what they're doing. A few of the names that you might recognize are Sonny Sandoval from POD, Jake Snyder from Minus the Bear, Paige from Helmet, Dave Shapiro, the brains behind the podcast network that you are listening to, Johnny from Avenged Sevenfold, Anthony Green from Circa Survive, Andy from Fall Out Boy, Steve Evitz. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. He's up to like 200 episodes now. So chances are, if you are listening to this, there's going to be something on there that you will like. So you can go to purepleasurepodcast.com. That is P-E-E-R, as in like peer pressure, but purepleasurepodcast.com. Go to soundtalentmedia.com or just do a search on whichever podcast platform you prefer and enjoy.
Welcome to the My Top 5 podcast, where it's our duty to disagree with personal preference. I am your host, Fleur Shomo.
And I'm your co-host, Luke Shomo.
Hi, Luke.
Hello.
Hi, Luke. Hi, Luke.
Hello, 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 hello.
We're in...
How you doing?
I'm fine. We're still in winter, a bit gloomy. Actually, it's actually blue sky out today. I'm lying to the people.
I like that.
Sorry, people.
Yeah, I got some sun coming through the windows right now. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. We just need spring to turn up, and then, you know, life would be fine and dandy. There was one year where we had 6 months straight of snow, and it was when we lived at our old house and we couldn't get out of our driveway. And I remember sitting in the car trying to reverse, and it's kind of similar to now, being like trapped in our houses pretty much.
Yeah.
And I remember screaming in the car because I couldn't get out the driveway, and then giving up and going back inside and ordering another pizza.
I'm done. I went to college just a little bit north of Columbus, and it was way colder up there because you just get northern Ohio. You get a little closer to the lake and stuff. We had a winter when I was in college where it was just like you couldn't even open the door hardly. There was so much snow, and you like could hardly even get. I had to walk to class and just getting snow in my boot. It was horrible.
Imagine living somewhere where they get like 10 foot of snow. Imagine
not
that.
For me.
That's
not
always
for
so
me.
Funny to me.
Not for me.
Well, today we have a guest.
Yay.
Much better when we have a guest than when it's just us two chatting away.
Nobody wants to hear us just talking.
Yeah, we're boring as shit. Today we've got a great guest. It's Mr. Finn McKenty.
Woo!
Hello, Finn.
Good morning. You know, I lived in Ohio for 12 years.
Oh, wow.
Which is how I know Ashi and Cam and all the City Lights guys, because I used to hang out with them all the time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so I know. I lived in Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, so I got to kind of sample. Yeah, I got to sample all the different kinds of Ohio weather. And man, that once you get close to the lake there, I lived like three blocks from Lake Erie. And once you get close to the lake there, that lake effect snow is real.
Dude, it's a different ballgame up there. I can't eat, I have a friend who lives in Cleveland, and just them compared to here winter-wise is crazy different.
It's like Chicago. Chicago is bitter in the winter because of the freaking lake or river or whatever the bloody
crazy.
World they have.
Where do
I didn't have
now?
A car or anything like that, so I was, you know, waiting for the bus, 19 years old, waiting for the bus, like up to my knees in snow, and my face was just literally in pain because you get that wind whipping off the lake. I'm just
thank you. Are you somewhere warmer now? Are you somewhere warmer now?
The West Coast now, Boston.
Yeah, we're in Seattle.
Okay, so it's not as much snow, I imagine.
No. Usually maybe snows. Yeah, but you know the rain isn't even that bad either. I think the weather here is fantastic because you know the thing is, California is nice, but the fact of the matter is. Once you get about 100 yards inland from the ocean, it's pretty ugly. Whereas, you know, Washington, we've got oceans on one side. We've got two mountain ranges on the other side.
So scenic.
I'm a Washington booster, so anybody has questions about Washington, I'm here to answer them. And the answer to all of those questions is yes, Washington is great.
Do you hike a lot and go and see all the mountains?
Yeah.
Ah, jealous.
Yeah, I mean, within an hour and a half drive of here, we live just outside Seattle. There's, I don't know, probably 100 different beaches and mountains and stuff like that you could go to.
Jealous. That sounds great.
You can go look at whales and seals.
How do you go from Ohio to Seattle? What was the progression there?
Like, have we accidentally brought a deranged person on this show? Well, I moved to Ohio when I was 18 because, you know, when you're a hardcore kid and you're 18, you know, you gotta make some ill-advised long-distance move. It's just, 100%. You know, it's a rite of passage. So I moved to Cleveland because I knew people there and it had a cool hardcore scene, which, you know, to me at 18 was the most important thing in the world.
Sure.
Absolutely.
So I got what I wanted in that respect, but, Cleveland in every other respect, probably not the place I would choose to live.
Yeah. No.
We love you, Cleveland, but we don't want to live there.
Yeah. I can't say
people are happy there.
From,
that's great, but.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Yeah. You're happy.
Yeah. If you love it there, good for you. So Finn, I say this about a lot of our guests because a lot of our guests do so much more in life than I ever do. They have their fingers in many pies. You're a music commentator, graphic designer. You've written for magazines, including like Metal Sucks. You do marketing for various companies and have worked high up in various companies like Abercrombie. What is the area that you love the most out of all of that kind of stuff?
Well, at the end of the day, I like bringing a product to market, you know, and to me, it doesn't matter whether that is, you know, band merch or, a video or an educational product. I've spent the last 8 years or so working on educational stuff. It doesn't matter to me what it is. I just enjoy, you know, to me, making something and putting it out into the world and trying to get people to buy it is my art form.
I like that.
I love that. Luke's cool. A graphic designer as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you want to do our marketing as well.
Of course. Happy to help.
Obviously, you're most well known for your YouTube channel, Punk Rock MBA. If there's somehow anybody listening that has not heard about this, do you want to explain what you do with that? Because you have two YouTube channels. So do you want to explain the difference between the both to people?
So I have two channels. My main one that you may have heard of or seen or gotten recommended or something is the Punk Rock MBA, which is essentially where I look at and try to deconstruct trends in what I say music and alternative culture. Just try to kind of look at why things are popular or unpopular, why people feel the way they do about you know, various different parts of the scene. You know, for example, I just did a video called like What Killed Ska Punk, where I kind of looked at the 90s ska punk explosion and looked at, oh, you're a ska person.
Oh, I was when I was 14.
Okay. So I just kind of looked at how that came to be and, you know, why it didn't last. So that's my main channel, which is, you know, the more popular one. So you can think of it as music commentary. The second channel is just my name. And that's where I talk about business and marketing and personal development, which is the stuff that I'm probably most passionate about. But, you know, obviously that stuff is not as fun and sexy as talking about ska and nu metal.
Sure.
Because it might actually help people and nobody wants that.
No, that's no fun.
No, I don't know. You mentioned that you've been working with education platform, that's URM Academy. So you do marketing for them, or do you help them produce, like you said, educational tools for people?
So the first thing I did was for a company called Creative Live, which was, well, still is, an online education platform for creative folks. In particular, they focus on photographers, like wedding and portrait photographers, which is, you know, the biggest segment of professional photography. So it was founded by a friend of mine named Chase Jarvis, who's a pretty well-known photographer that some people might know. I worked there for about 4 years helping them do a few different things. The main one, or the first one, being that the former CEO, which is kind of in the hallway one day, was like, oh, you know, wondering, should we teach people how to make music too? And I was like, well, I can help you out with that because I am friends with a lot of producers. So I got my friend A.L. Levy on to teach a class about drum programming. And from there, we ended up working with people like Steve Evitz and Kurt Ballou and, you know, Nolly from Periphery, Joey Sergis, you know, kind of a lot of the people that you would think of now as thought leaders in that area. And that was started back in 2013. I started doing that, which, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I would say, you know, did change the way that, yeah, I mean, I think it really did change the way that people learn how to produce music. I mean, nobody was doing live streaming educational content on music production back then until we did. And so that's pretty cool. I did that for a couple of years. Then I moved into a different role there where I worked on the CEO's team, doing, you know, what they call program management. So basically make shit happen. So, he had a podcast and did a bunch of content with people like, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk and Tim Ferriss and Ariana Huffington and Mark Cuban, people like that. So I worked on that team for a while. And then moved over to URM Academy, which is where I still work. I'm one of the partners there with A.L. Levy, Joey Sturgis, and Joel Wanasek. We teach people how to record and mix music, primarily rock and metal, but, you know, it could be anything. And my title there is Director of Operations, so I primarily focus on marketing, but really it could be anything because, I mean, I've been running businesses of various kinds for 20 years, so, you know, operations just means make shit go.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. Did I see you're writing a book? Is that a thing?
Yes. Yeah. I started that a couple months ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. So essentially you can think of it as, the way I'm positioning is like Tim Ferriss for hardcore kids. So like a book on how to, you know, be a happy, successful person for people from our kind of world. Because, you know, if you read a lot of the, there's a lot of good business and self-help stuff out there, but if you read it, it may not necessarily, you know, resonate with us because, you know, there's, we're different than civilians,
sure.
You know, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in not so good ways, but, you know, it just sort of, I realized that what works for those folks may not necessarily work for us. And I thought, well, why don't I do it? Because I know that I can. And, you know, so it's going to be a compilation of essentially, you know, lessons drawn from people in our world, whether that's like musicians or entrepreneurs or designers or whatever, then coupled with my kind of analysis of like, you know, for example, someone like Ryan Clark from Demon Hunter, here's what he did with his career. Here's what that means for you. And I think it's going to be somewhere around 20 chapters or something like that, each one being one of these lessons with a story followed by some of my analysis. And I
that's
hope to
awesome.
Have that out next year.
Wow, that's
I
great.
I love that.
Look
such
forward
a good
to
idea.
That.
And you're right, because it is, there's like self-help, you know, they're not like broad spectrum, are they? They can help certain people, but not others. So.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the right way to go.
That's great.
So we are the My Top 5 podcast, and we want to know what subject you've picked and why.
Well, I know a lot of your other guests chose, kind of flimsy, unimportant topics. I wanted to focus on something substantial, hard hitting stuff that the people need to hear. Top five MTV shows of all time.
Nothing flimsy about that. Nothing flimsy at all.
Hard hitting. Hard hitting stuff that the people
important.
Need to hear. Let's change some lives today.
Let's stuff. Get in there.
Hey, that's man, awesome. I didn't grow up with MTV, so I had to, because in England, I don't know if it's the same here. In England, we just had, normal TV that was free for everyone, and it was only like five channels. And then if you wanted like MTV and everything, you had to pay for something called Sky, which is like cable, I guess. And we just never had that. So I used to go to my friend's house and be like, can we put MTV on?
I didn't either until I was a teenager, so I'm
okay
with you.
cool yeah, awesome. So yeah, this was fun to like go back and think of stuff that I had to like either try and sneak to watch, or I say sneak to watch as if my parents cared. They didn't give a shit what I was watching.
I just didn't want to
have
it.
Yeah, they
just
didn't want
to
pay for
it.
Okay, so we'll start at five. Luke, do you want to start or do you want me to start?
Sure, I can start. Man, it was funny going through just like trying to remember the eras of when I was watching MTV. So I picked number five. I went with Robin Big, nice. If anyone knows that show, which was it was just like a buddy show, basically, of Rob Dyrdek and his bodyguard, Chris Big Black Boykin.
The people who don't know, Rob Dyrdek is a skateboarder. And
yeah,
yes,
he's a
RIP
skater.
For Big.
Yeah, he passed away a couple years ago, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like a dumb show of them getting into shenanigans and they just
wasting money.
Yeah, it seemed so harmless. Like, I don't know. I love, like, they were just so, I don't know anything about them really, but they just seemed at least so genuinely happy. And like, they were just like boys and just would kick it and get into mischief.
Yeah,
Caleb,
I got introduced to this through Caleb and I was like, don't they run out of things to do in an episode? Like, don't they run out of like content because they're just hanging out and building skate parks in their back garden and stuff? And I was
and
just
it spawned
like,
into Rob making that show where he just had Fantasy Factory or whatever, where he just had like all the dream stuff you could ever want in a place was his life, basically. And
a bad way to live.
Yeah, I think I think Chris ended up leaving because he had a kid or something, and so they kept Rob Dyrdek going, but. Yeah, it was just so. I don't want to speak like I know anything about their personal lives or anything. They may have been shitty people for all I know.
You and Rob are best mates.
Yeah, well, like I hate being like I'm just building people up and I don't know. I mean, maybe they're awful people. I don't know, but like I don't like if they have like some controversy or something. I didn't do research on them, but it seemed like it was just very wholesome and good and happy, and they just like were boys, and that brought me a lot of joy, and I love that. Yeah,
just simple.
So that's my five.
Family friendly fun.
Yeah, easy. Well, we were talking about one to really dive in and get deep. I don't know if that one it felt very service level.
Actually, Rob Dyrdek is now a very successful, like, legit venture capitalist. He has a company called Dyrdek Enterprises. And he's the real deal now. And
that's awesome.
He is one of the people I'll be talking about in my book.
No way.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You remember Drama, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. DJ Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he started Young and Reckless.
Yeah, the clothing
and,
thing.
And yep, on the back of the show. And he has a fantastic podcast called Short Story Long, which is basically like very insightful interviews with people. I always just assumed he was a complete douchebag because I never really watched that show.
Yeah,
I always just assumed he was a total douchebag. And it turns out he's actually a very smart, thoughtful guy. So you inadvertently discovered some solid gold here.
What else? How else can we pump your book? There's got to be other. I'll just accidentally like run into chapters
of
your book.
Yeah, what can I put in my top five?
My number four is. Well, that's awesome. That's cool.
My number five, I went classic and just did The Osbournes.
Oh yeah.
The beginning of reality TV, like family style, I believe. I'm pretty sure they were the first family to do it. And honestly, their house was nuts. There was always 50 million dogs running around. And Ozzy was just perpetually walking around confused when the phone rang. And
so
what more can you want from life? What more can you want from life? Ozzy just being like, what the hell is that?
So good.
Every time the phone rings, it's just so funny.
didn't he say that he was on some like heavy duty, like psychiatric medications or something when they were filming that, and like
I'm
that's
sure
why he was so out of it.
Yeah, they probably did. They probably did it to so he wasn't as wild. They're probably like, just take this and hang out in the background, be confused. Poor guy. But yeah, so I guess we've got them to thank for all the other stuff that came afterwards, like
definitely
Hulk
pioneers,
the Kardashians, and so thanks, Sharon.
They definitely pioneered that, it seems.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure there was
probably
other people doing stuff like it at some capacity, but I don't know. Not like filming
yeah,
like that.
I didn't
that.
See a lot of it. I just remember the titles being terrible. Whoever did the graphic design for that was terrible.
Really? I can't even remember.
Yeah. And I remember Burt McCracken being in an episode once because he was dating Kelly Osbourne at the time. And that was, I remember being like... But that's so just some small memories of the Osbournes. So they're my number five. Not
like
starting
it.
Off light.
I wonder how much that show played in the Used becoming as popular as they did.
Yeah, it definitely got them some.
Because that show was so fucking big.
So
yeah,
big.
It was massive.
It definitely got them some publicity, didn't it? Because people have been like Burt McCracken and then listened and. Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah, it definitely contributed to the rise, I believe. Hey, shrewd marketing. Shrewd marketing on Bert's perspective.
Well done.
Yeah, I respect.
Okay, Finn, number five for you.
Well, I'm going to cheat a little bit with number five.
Ooh, okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry to start by breaking the rules, but you
That's
know,
we're
this,
about
is a, this is a rock and roll podcast. We do what we want over here.
We're about
absolutely.
My number five show will be Rock of Love, which is a VH1 show, but you know, close enough.
Sure,
Viacom, you know, same difference.
Man, I didn't even look at VH1 shows. Shoot,
yeah,
oh,
I didn't even.
Man.
But wait, who was that? Who was the guy on there? The blonde guy,
Brett Michaels from Poison.
Yes, Brett Michaels.
Like washed up 43-year-old Brett Michaels, well past his prime.
Way past his prime.
Yes. This is like 2005 or something. And, you know, they were probably at their peak in 1990. So here's well past his prime Brett Michaels as the prize in this reality show where, I don't know, what was it?
The prize.
12 women. Yeah, it was like 12 women or something competing for, you know, the privilege of becoming Brett Michaels' girlfriend after humiliating themselves in a series of weekly challenges.
Oh,
the grand prize is Brett Michaels.
I mean,
congrats,
a little bit like Flavor of Love with Flavor Flav, surely.
Oh, yeah. Same thing,
I forget which one came first.
I don't know which one came first, but I'm saying like the prize being Flavor Flav is hilarious
like,
to me.
Oh, funny. I actually just watched, speaking of Brett Michaels, I just watched a documentary called The Decline of Western Civilization. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
But it's
like
a Bachelor.
From the 80s?
Yeah, I watched the second one, was the heavy metal one. But they had Brett Michaels, who was like 22 at the time or something. Like it was in the 80s or whatever. But it was just so funny hearing him, because they were like, it was very candid interviews. But he was just talking, and then I'm thinking about him in the context of that show and stuff and just what he became. And I'm just like,
right,
this is wild. It was very
I love
wild.
How he has like such a heavy Pennsylvania accent.
Yeah. Crazy.
What's a Pennsylvania
dude.
Accent?
Just like, I don't
like, even know. I'll have to look it up after.
It's hard. I'm not going to do an impression. I'm
not going to
do
it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
I saw him once at a festival. It was around the time that show was out, so that's the only reason I recognized him.
Yeah.
But
if you haven't looked at his Instagram, you should. He posted the most amazing thing I've ever seen any human being post on Instagram. There's a picture of, like, he works out a lot, right? He's I don't know, he's probably like 58 or something now. So he's older, but he is in very good shape. So I want to give him credit for that.
Sure.
And clearly puts in a lot of work.
Throw him a bone.
And he posted a picture of, like, this, him, like, doing calf raises. It's just this close-up of his calf. From
Which
like
a weird
angle
image.
Where it's hard to even tell what it is. And I'm imagining his kids being like, "Dad, that's not what you put on Instagram. What are you doing?"
A calf out of context is something that is very hard
that's
to digest,
so
I think.
Odd.
Right.
You just like come across it in the wild.
Yeah.
That's a weird one.
What is that, his calf like flexing? Why?
I can put it into the context of seeing a person's legs to just, I'm, you know, so you're walking around. There's just, okay, there's it. A calf. He's got shorts on. You run across that on an Instagram post, just an isolated calf. You got a whole nother thing going on.
Impressing with that as well.
Oh, it's awesome. I don't know, but I think it's great. I love that kind of just,
there's a
you know,
whole calf audience
innocence.
Out there.
I love innocence Instagram.
Exactly, just, exactly. So like when Kanye would post like a picture of like a potted plant or something like that. God. Not even like a cool artsy picture, no. Just like a shitty iPhone picture of like a plant.
There's a generation. There is. It's like that. Like the in the 50 to 65 year old generation, that it's just pure innocence. They don't. Yes. It's like my friend's dad has an Instagram account and he just posts plants like. Gardening stuff, like it's just like he's in his yard gardening, and it's like this is beautiful. It's so wholesome.
It's so good.
That's for
so
you, Rob
cute.
Shepherd. By the way, I want to call him out.
Exactly.
He's a listener.
Okay, Luke 4.
Yeah. All right, number 4. I went with Viva La Bam as 4. I could have had it higher, but it's a classic show. We actually got to meet Bam Margera once, which was wild because I had been such a fan of that show growing up, but it was very briefly. But
when was that? Yeah. Was that when he walked on the bus and mistakenly walked on the wrong bus?
No. Oh. He got invited on the bus. He came up and had a beer.
Oh, okay. I met him a different time.
No. No. But yeah, it was. I don't know how his parents and stuff put up with it. Honestly, like that's the main thing to me is like how. I can't imagine living your life. I mean, I guess the money's worth it. You do much for money.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
his
that's the only reason.
His dad was always livid, wasn't he?
Man, I mean, they just got terrorized by those kids, dude. I felt so bad for them. Like, I'm sure they're not great people themselves. I don't know. But, man, they just felt like they got terrorized.
Well, where he was getting married, right? And it was about the wedding and his wife putting up with him wasting shit tons of money on pointless shit. And
was that a different
show
or was that Viva La Bam still?
That was Bam's Unholy Union.
Oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
That
wow,
was the follow
man.
On or just a sidebar
the sequel.
Of it. Yeah. Yeah. And I saw some of that and it was all about how he would do, you know, pointless man crazy things and it would be like, is she still going to marry him?
Man.
But
did they
of
end
course
up
she was
staying?
Gonna...
Did they stay married?
Yeah, they got married. I don't know if they're still married now.
They're not married anymore.
Finn
now.
Might know. Okay. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Actually,
yeah.
I got a very nice note. I made a video about Bam a couple months ago. And I got a very nice note from his current wife, who they have a kid now, and she said, "We just watched this together, and it was really good. Thank you for making this," and that made
me
happy.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Love that.
All my list applies to your life, which I like so far. I'm 2 for 2 on my list applying to your life.
There was something the other day that someone was on Twitter, and they're bringing up a memory where it was Hulk Hogan. Hulk keeps coming up. I'm obviously obsessed with Hulk, and he had posted a photo that was like of him and Bam, and he was like, "Man, I miss him so much. He was such a good guy." And Bam had replied and been like. I'm still alive, but thanks, miss you
I
too.
About that.
Still, so I'm still ridiculous. Kicking.
Again, that boomer innocence.
It's so pure, dude.
So
it's
true.
So pure.
So true.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my number 4, I had to go with Cribs.
Cribs.
Because,
that's on my honorable mention. It's an honorable
because,
mention.
Because, holy fuck, those houses were always hideous. They were always terrible. There was never any good style in any of them. These people were spending money on the stupidest things that they got made for themselves, and you're like, this is unbelievable. I do not remember seeing one house and being like, that is a really nice house. Maybe from the outside,
right?
But from the inside, it was always a fucking disaster, and they were always so proud of it. It was awful, right? Is that just me?
They look like the lobby of a Cheesecake Factory to me.
Yes, literally. They did.
That is the perfect descriptor. Lobby of a Cheesecake Factory.
Like, who was designing all of these people's houses in the early 2000s? It's like someone was like, "Oh, I'm going to charge them $3 million to style their house, and lol, I'm just going to buy everything for $2 and make it look like a fucking Cheesecake Factory."
Painted gold.
I'm not rich, so I don't know, but it just sure seems like a lot of rich people get a bunch of money and they're just like, let's do the gaudiest, wildest looking shit possible.
It was horrific. I'm trying to think if anyone had anything like crazy memorable. I remember like some people they get like beds made that are gigantic and you're like, that's kind of smart, but then also that means you have to get all your sheets made for you as well. The commitment
at that
is
point,
real.
Who cares?
And especially cares? To change the bed if it's like 10 foot wide.
Effort. Well, they're not changing it.
No,
they're
that's true. I guess they're paying someone to do it. But I struggle with our bed. I have to help kick the tail with it. So I
like
can't even
that's
imagine.
That's the main takeaway. That's your main takeaway from Cribs. Is those sheets. Are the sheets on that bed, though? Like, can we even address that?
Oh, my favorite moment was the Yin Yang twins.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. When they I don't think I ever saw that.
Clearly rented some house that they didn't live in.
Yes.
Like, for one, you can barely understand anything they're saying because they have such strong, like, Atlanta accents. Plus, they're probably high as shit.
And they just lean into it so hard, dude.
Yeah.
It's
and
so
there's one part where there's like a painting of a sailboat on the wall. And, you know, the producer asks him, like, oh, what's, you know, what's that all about? And he's, you know, he obviously didn't even notice it before. And he's like, oh, you know, kind of trying to, like, explain it. And
it's a family heirloom.
Yeah. And I don't even know what he was saying because I literally can't understand any words coming out of his mouth.
He probably doesn't even know what
he was saying. Is there any, like, how many of the Cribs were rented? I bet it had
I know,
to be a
I
lot.
Bet most of them were.
Probably a lot.
Yeah.
Probably a
Because, like, I can't imagine a ton of people would be like, yeah, this is literally my house. Come do a show.
They
actually
maybe. Redid it recently. There was really? A few episodes on something. I think I saw it on Hulu, and they actually redid it recently, and they had some people in it. Genuinely, you're like, okay, that actually is your house.
Yeah, that's fair.
And they're obviously a lot more stylish these days. Like, Jensen Ackles did one, and I was like, he's in, like, Austin, Texas, whatever, and has this the most amazing glass wall that looks out for fun. You're like, okay, these are cool now. Like, people have finally learned that they don't
taste
you know,
has gotten a little
need
better.
To give MTV a slice of cheesecake with their house.
Another highlight for me was Damon Dash when he was at like the height of his powers. He showed up and he had a butler, which I'm sure was fake.
Respect.
It's like his assistant or something like that. But he had a butler and. He like answers the door like, oh, hello, welcome to my crib. Would you like some water? And so he hands it to the guy. And then before the you know, the host takes it, he pulls it back and he asks his butler, wait a minute, is this the most expensive water you could find? It is? Okay, good.
Oh my God.
That's so good.
And then he's showing off his shoe collection and he's talking about how he only wears a pair of shoes once. And he's like, oh, you don't believe me? Look. And then he takes a pair out of the box and licks the bottom of it. To prove that it's never been worn.
What a ridiculous life. I want that life where I can wear a pair
exactly.
Of shoes a
that's
day.
The kind
I mean,
of...
it's either true and that's why he shouldn't have money, or it's not true and he literally got them to just buy a pair of trainers because he thought that would be like something super cool to do.
So
oh, I think he was just being ridiculous.
Make him look awesome.
Yeah.
Man.
That is dragon energy. Do you guys remember when Kanye was talking about dragon energy on Twitter?
Yeah. No. Yeah, I remember that.
No.
This is dragon energy. This is what Kanye was talking about.
I believe it.
Oh, my God. Okay, man. Finn, four for you.
Number four for me is True Life. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah,
no,
True
I
Life.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, True Life was great.
What was it?
Oh, it was like basically just little, you know, like the kind of documentaries Vice does now, you know, like it'd be called like True Life, I'm a Cheerleader or, you know, True Life, I'm a... you know, an MMA fighter or something like that, or, you know, just little like mini or bodybuilder or whatever, little mini documentaries on people that I actually think were really well done. They did a good job of, you know, just doing kind of authentic slice of life kind of content that now this is a format we're very familiar with because it's like what every YouTube kind of documentary is.
Yeah.
But, you know, they started doing that in, I don't know, 2001 or something like that when this was a very new kind of format.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think people really give them as much credit as they deserve for kind of inventing the template for that sort of content.
Yeah, it
did
was
they,
a good show.
Did they ever do like hard hitting ones like True Life on the streets?
Oh yeah, lots. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I love
we
that.
Did.
So,
go ahead, Fleur.
No, you're fine, Luke.
I was just gonna say one of my small claims to fame, which isn't even real fame at all,
you
but
were
I,
on the street
me
one.
And. Yeah, no. Me and a couple of buddies for a school project when I was in high school did a like fake True Life thing because it was like a video project for a class, like sociology or something. And so we did True Life, I'm an Emo, and like did this whole stereotypical like emo thing. And it ended up getting like a million views on YouTube, and people didn't realize that it was fake.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, but it was so shitty. I mean, we were in high school and doing a high school level video. And like we would get comments of people being pissed off at us because they're like, this isn't emo, or like, because it was all just over stereotyping. That was the whole point. So it was like we were just, it was funny and dumb. And they were like, people were getting in fights in the comment section and stuff. It ended up getting taken down because we used all this music and stuff. This was before they cared about that stuff. And eventually they came around and kicked us off.
Do you still own that somewhere?
No, I don't have any idea where it is now.
But does anyone made it with own it?
Ryan my friend Ryan.
Okay,
was the
I'm
one
gonna
that,
check with
like,
him. We might.
Yeah,
have to
I don't think he
this.
Has it because he was looking for it. We were talking about it the other day and just trying to see how many views it had, and that's when we discovered it got taken down. But
well, maybe we could so all funny. Do our own episode called True Life. I know someone who's in a moderately popular band.
I love that. That would be a good episode. I'm surprised
barely
they're not
popular.
Bringing that.
Let's
that's a show I could
barely.
See them coming back with, like in general, bringing that back.
Yeah,
around.
I mean, if it was actually doing some serious subjects and getting it to a crowd of younger people that normally wouldn't watch stuff like that, I think it's a great idea. Love
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'd love to see it come back. Or maybe it is, you know, a lot of these shows are still being made, and it's just MTV is so irrelevant now that you just don't even know it.
I couldn't even tell you one show on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea.
Luke, three.
I went with Punked. Got punked at three. Here's my problem is like I have a horrible memory, and so I was trying to like think about episodes. Like you're just picking out amazing stuff about the Ying Yang Twins on Crit. Like I can't even remember stuff like that. But I was thinking about Punked, and I was like, it's just I remember it as a show just being so insane, and like they would just get the highest profile celebrities like with Ashton
Didn't
Kutcher
they?
To do it. And like one I remember like speaking of Kanye, we brought him up a few times, but he had an episode and they like told him he didn't have a permit to film his music video where he was filming it. And so they came in and like told him he had to shut down. And then he had already had film, like a reel of film that they had done. And they literally tried to snatch it from him. And he like was grabbing on it. And one of my favorite, like my friend Matt is always like, I paid for this film. Cause he's just like sitting on the ground yelling, I paid for this film. So ridiculous. But they even had like Justin Timberlake cried on it.
That's right. That's my favorite
Justin
one where he calls his
killed
mom.
Someone?
Yes. He cried. I think they were
going
to, like, repo his house or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And then he calls his mom crying. He's like, Mom, they're trying to take all my stuff. What do I do?
This is Justin Timberlake.
I thought he killed someone. I didn't remember what it was. I remember him getting really upset and crying. That's hilarious. I mean, it is Ashton Kutcher, to be fair.
Yeah.
I was looking through
a little bit of the episode, just, like, trying to remember stuff, and the stars were just huge. There's just huge people on there, which is crazy. It's just
and they
so
did
fun.
Some
like
really elaborate stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I can't believe Ashton Kutcher was like that. Was it's just so.
Yeah,
wild.
I was
that
never
was
into
thing.
It. I didn't ever really liked Ashton Kutcher, so I was.
I mean,
like,
I was whatever about him, but just the concept of these celebrities getting shamed was so funny to me.
Oh my gosh, I'm just picturing Kanye hugging his. Fucking
I paid for this film.
Real.
I mean, especially knowing what we know about him now. I
can
imagine.
That was before he was surrounded by too many yes people. People should have pumped him more and he might have stayed sane.
You can imagine the reaction to telling Kanye no to anything.
I know. Imagine now. My number three, I went with Making the Band.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
It was a TV show where they were putting together a boy band. What was the boy band called?
O-Town.
And they
there was
were
a, the guy named Ashley. I remember
yeah,
that
he had his own spinoff of it.
Ashley
really?
Angel, I think his last name
wow.
was.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only name I remember because it was so ridiculous. They put together this boy band and then it showed them creating their album and then doing all of that. But Lou Pearlman, before jail, was on there. Before he went to jail for ripping off all these boy bands.
That's right.
Yeah, fat, gross Lou Pearlman. Oh,
was
so
project?
Gross.
Was it like
yeah, it was his thing.
Yeah.
He was the one deciding who should be in it. And then, you know, if someone did something controversial or they found out something about your past, he'd be like, I don't know if you could be in the band. And you'd be like, ooh. He
looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah, he
did
does.
The band,
he wasn't
like
he was melting or sweaty or something. Ooh.
Did the band have any success? Did they?
I remember
become
two of their
band?
Songs. Yeah, they had a huge song called Liquid Dreams.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot. I thought it was a joke at first.
Wow. Which, when you just say the title, is very odd.
Who thought that was a good idea?
And then they had
Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, sure.
Did you guys see the documentary about him? About like how he was basically trying to fuck all the dudes in these bands?
What? There's I didn't even know there was a doc.
Look it up. It's Rich from LFO, who unfortunately is dead.
Yeah.
Rich from LFO on Howard Stern. It's on YouTube. So I'll if you don't mind, I'll do a bad job of recapping the story.
Oh no, do it.
Please.
So apparently, I think it was I think Backstreet Boys came out first in Germany as sort of the like template for this, and they were starting NSYNC as the follow up to that. Basically, you know, just let's repeat that. And so Lou Pearlman is telling. And then they're doing the same thing with LFO. And so Lou Pearlman is telling Rich from LFO, like, you know, how they're going to roll the band out in Germany. He's like, well, I got to tell you something, you know, it's really disturbing. But, you know, a lot of the people over there in Germany, they're going to try to take advantage of you. He's like, well, what do you mean take advantage of me? He's like, well, you know, they're going to try to, you know, make sexual advances on you. He's like, what? Like, oh, they're sick. They're sick. These are terrible people.
Great impression.
Oh, well, thanks for warning me. Well, you know, just if it would be helpful, you know, what I could do is I could play the part of somebody, you know, trying to have sex with you just so you could practice how you would resist. He's like, I think we're good, but thank you.
What? That's fucking crazy.
I could try and bang you, and you could try and force me off, even though
only if it would help you practice that. Just for you, that's all.
Let me seduce you and tell me how you'd stop.
That's so
messed
up. Oh,
my God. Wow. Yeah, he was the worst. I don't even know if Lou Pearlman, he might be dead now as well.
God, he's dead.
We're talking about lots
of
dead people.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Boy.
Yikes. But yeah, I just remember like looking
what
at
a
him.
Creep.
And he'd just
what
be sat there like sweating, and he had these really like trout lips, and I was just like, ooh, he's so gross. But yeah, so that stuck with me.
Like, you imagine his skin is like sweaty but cold at the same time.
Yeah, always moist.
Yeah, like like a toad or a frog. Toads are dry. Frogs are
ooh,
wet.
Ooh,
when I
yeah
think about making the band, I think about the Chappelle Show like parody of the making the band, like when it became like the second when Puff Daddy was involved later. Like they did like a second season with Puff Daddy.
Isn't that when they did Danity Kane?
I can't remember, dude. Honestly,
I have
feel
no
like
idea.
Yeah, I just know that Chappelle's parody of making the band is one of the funniest skits that he ever did.
And Danity Kane was fire.
So
Showstopper
good.
Still bangs.
Dude,
that was
the
all the females, right? The
yes
three girls. Yeah, amazing.
Wild.
Hey there, I am Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and I've got a podcast called Drinks with Johnny you're going to want to check out. I sit down with a bunch of different people from all different walks of life, from professional wrestlers to actors, comedians, fighters, musicians, everything in between. I'm just looking to make some friends and have a good time doing it. So if that sounds like something you're into, go check out Drinks with Johnny, streaming everywhere now.
Hey you, do you have any plans this year? How's that going? Did you get 2020? Well, welcome to a brand new podcast called 2020, where myself, Benny Goodman, and my good friends Corey Pazin and Siobhan Cronin from the band Lost Symphony also got 2020.
And since the world ended this year, we decided why not just check in with some of our friends in the music industry and see how everyone's doing.
We're going to get a candid look at life on and off the stage, as well as the mindset of some of the most successful people in the entertainment industry.
New episodes drop every Sunday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern.
And you can listen at 2020-D.com, SoundTalentMedia.com, or on your favorite podcast app.
But first, I want to thank DistroKid for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're not familiar, DistroKid is a digital music distribution service that musicians use to put their music into online stores and streaming services. So in plain language, if you have ever wondered how to get your music on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon, Deezer, Tidal, and many, many more, there's like
dozens and dozens of different streaming services, DistroKid is the way to do it. It is super easy. I have used it to put my music on Spotify. It took me maybe 5 minutes to like set it up and upload everything. It's legitimately awesome. I am sincerely a fan of this company and their product. And for those of you who have asked, you can also upload your music to TikTok with DistroKid. And if you want a chance to get featured on DistroKid's Spotify playlists, you can do that by submitting a song through Spotlight and getting your fans to vote for you. You can also use Hyperfollow to get more Spotify followers. You can promote your new release as well as Spotify Canvas. That's where there's the video in the background in the player. And when you share it on Instagram, it shares that video too to make your Spotify release pop. And Spotify Canvas is available to all DistroKid artists. Like I said, as you can probably tell from this, like I am sincerely a fan of DistroKid. DistroKid can do everything I just talked about and so much more. So be sure to sign up with my link, which is in the show notes for this episode, to get 7% off your first year. That link is in the show notes of this episode, or go to distrokid.com/VIP/thepunkrockNBA. And thanks again to DistroKid for sponsoring this episode.
Okay, Wild. Finn, three for you.
Well, my three was Cribs, which we've already discussed. But I wanted to mention one more of my favorite moments from Cribs. It's a classic. A lot of people probably remember is Redman from Wu-Tang. Yes. Did you guys see this one?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I definitely saw it.
So he just, this was definitely his real house. He just lived in some shitty house on Staten Island with like two other people with like furniture in it.
Yes.
His like cousin was like sleeping on the floor in a sleeping bag. And you could tell it wasn't staged. The dude was just, you know, sleeping in a sleeping bag.
When they came over.
And they had like a box of money, like a shoebox full of money on top of the fridge. And like the doorbell didn't work. It was like just two exposed wires you had to touch together.
Oh my God. That's
and they just had like
a
TV.
Robbed afterwards.
Yeah, maybe. They just had like a TV on the floor, you know, like no
so
TV. Like he just didn't give a fuck. And I always appreciated that one because it was the opposite of what you were talking about of everyone like trying to
show
you
off,
know, yeah he just didn't give a fuck.
Man,
that's
good.
Amazing. Oh,
that's
I love
awesome.
That. So nonchalant. Yeah, come on in.
Oh man,
just
so funny.
Be careful not to step on my cousin or the box of money.
That's so funny.
And it wasn't it wasn't like stacks, you know.
It was just
chucked
in it.
Yeah, it was just like wads of like $5 bills in a shoebox.
That's so good.
I love that. That's so real. Oh my God. Okay, then Luke, two.
Before my actual number two, I want to bring up one, not even an honorable mention, but it's a show. Do either of you have Made on your list? I can't imagine you
do.
No,
I do not.
No, but I do absolutely love that show. It could have been.
I didn't really watch it, to be honest, but we had that show came to my high school and did a girl was on the show who went to my high school. So it was like this huge deal because like the MTV camera crews were like in the school. And
for anyone who hasn't seen it, explain what Made is.
Made is basically you're a person and then you want to become something else. And they like do a whole show, like episode about it. So
and they have coaches that come on and help you become the thing.
They like, what we had was a girl who was a cheerleader wanted to be a rugby player, quote unquote. Now the whole thing is staged
cringe,
and that's what it told me. It was like, it was the fakest thing of all time. Like you would be like, we would be in the lunchroom or something and they'd be filming and something would happen and they would have you like redo it. Like you would recreate thing. It was like it was very TV show stuff. So it was like very manufactured situations and stuff, which obviously it's going
to
be because it's
I choose not to believe anything you're telling me.
I'm sorry
it's
for
still
breaking
real to
the
me,
glass.
Damn it.
I'm sorry for shattering the glass for everyone, but it was very, very fake. And she definitely never played real rugby or ever
even
wanted to.
Did they do like super cringy things? Like, did people ever want to be super cringy?
I mean, I don't remember. I just remember everyone trying to get on the show. So it was like a huge, like everyone was just classically trying to get in front of the camera and stuff. Which
a friend of mine was a coach on the show. It was the episode. There was some girl. I don't remember what she was originally, but the title was like, I want to be a screamo rocker.
Wow.
And a friend of mine, Mary Zimmer, is like a vocal coach.
Right.
And she was the coach there teaching the girl how to scream.
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. See, that's
I think Caleb
like,
worked with her, maybe. I'm not sure about that.
No, that's Maria.
Is that someone else?
Someone different.
Oh, okay.
Melissa Cross.
Melissa Cross. Yeah, right, right, right. Oh my god, that's so cringe. Oh my god,
brutal.
Imagine being on that and doing something super cringe like that. How embarrassing.
One of my favorite moments on Made. As you can tell, I'm not fucking around with these MTV shows.
You were like diehard, my
connoisseur.
Dude. I'm happy you're here because I struggle to remember stuff.
I'm not fucking around. So I thought, I was like, oh shit, I should have done some more research, but now I feel pretty good about it. I feel like my life was research for this.
Yeah, definitely.
You put in the time.
Exactly. Time well spent, let me tell you. There was one, it was called like something like I Want to Be a Beauty Pageant Queen or something like that.
Oh, no.
And it was this girl who just totally didn't have what it takes to be like, you know, a pageant queen at all, and a terrible attitude. So basically, you know, they just... Yeah, exactly. So some of these episodes would be like, oh, here's a really cool, nice person that you want to root for this person to be successful. And then other ones are like, here is this delusional moron and you want to see this person fail. And she was in the second category. And the moment that I remember, like, she did some wet t-shirt contest. This is at some, you know, local bar in Florida or whatever, you know.
How old is this person?
I don't know, 19 or something.
Okay, cool. I thought we were talking about high school kids.
No, they weren't all in high school. That was just mine.
Yeah, okay. a good amount of them were in high school, but not all of them. She was just super obnoxious, and she goes to do this wet t-shirt contest. And this is horrible, and I don't endorse it, but it was funny. She was there was like the guy that was running the contest who... She kept just acting like a total diva too, and making all these demands and being really rude to him and stuff. And so the way that it worked is they would walk out on stage and he would throw a pitcher of cold water on their shirt, and then they would like wiggle their boobies and people would cheer and clap and vote for the person. But when it was her turn to come out, instead of throwing a pitcher of cold water on her, he threw a pitcher of scalding hot, almost boiling water on her.
No, that's horrible.
And she was like, her skin, I mean, it didn't actually burn her, but it was hot enough. It was the opposite of what she was expecting.
When you're expecting cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God.
And then he was just laughing at her, making a fool out of herself on stage. Again, horrible thing to do. I don't endorse it. I would never do it. But
your
it was
knowledge
funny.
Of Made is incredible. I am it's so brilliant. Happy that
okay.
I brought Made
Luke, was that was
okay.
that your number
no,
two?
No, that's not even in my list. My number two. My number two is Pimp My Ride. I have to have. I have
that
to
was an honorable
Pimp
for
My Ride.
Me.
I just loved how, in the same way that Cribs was, it was so dumb and ridiculous and gaudy. And my favorite thing is that they didn't do anything to fix the car itself. It was only the aesthetics, because like. These cars were just horrible. They're just these terrible, beat up old Honda Civics or whatever.
We didn't fix your cracked engine block.
No,
but we did
like it
put
doesn't
a goldfish
run.
Tank in it.
You still got 200,000 miles on it, and it doesn't go anywhere. But now you have two TVs in your backseat, and someone's going to rob you. So, but anyway, yeah, Pimp My Ride, dude. Exhibit, X to the Z exhibit. What a legend.
Well, see, we had a version in England called Pimp My Ride, but we didn't get a rapper. We had a radio DJ who is this known, awful, awful white old guy who thinks he wants to be a black rapper.
Oh, no.
And he does have really good knowledge about like that, like hip hop and all that stuff. But that's who our presenter was. It was a guy called Tim Westwood.
Oh, you know who should have been the host? Danny Dyer.
Yes, that would have been epic. I think he might have been too young at the time.
Yeah,
but,
true.
But yeah, so we had Bargain Basement Tim Westwood. You guys had Exhibit.
Yeah, we had Exhibit, baby. He was the man. And West Coast Customs.
Speaking of British hosts, by the way.
Yeah.
My spirit animal is Ross Kemp.
Ross Kemp on Gangs.
I love him. He has a whole, there's Ross Kemp Extreme World on YouTube. He goes all over the world like doing this stuff. I love him. He's great.
He was in a soap called EastEnders, which is set in the East End of London.
And Danny Dyer's Dangerous Men was also good too.
Which Danny Dyer is now in that soap. So there we go.
Oh.
There's a little roundabout for you. But yeah, Danny Dyer does the same thing too. It's so funny.
He seemed like a real nice geezer. Then he'd done a runner. Call fucking hell.
Oh my God. That's so funny. So many people in England are going to be laughing listening to this. Wait, so that was two, right, Luke?
That's two. Yeah, what's your two?
My number two was Teen Mom 2.
Oh,
not the second Teen Mom version. OG, Teen Mom
what's
2.
What's the difference?
Yeah.
I think it was a different set of girls. I don't know. I've never seen Teen Mom, but Teen Mom 2.
You just
I think
jumped
was,
into 2.
Well, yeah. When I first moved here, my friend Caitlin was like, we need to watch Teen Mom 2. It's so good. And I'll be like, what's it about? She's like, about, you know, teenagers that are pregnant. I'm like, oh, it sounds lovely. It was just brilliant. I mean, if the only thing I was worried about was, like, I'm worried that girls will get pregnant so they can be on MTV to be on this show. But yeah. Then seeing some of the things that happened in these girls' lives once they got pregnant, I was like, maybe not, because it did a very good representation of how amazing it is to become a mum, but also because you're so young, this is a fucking disaster, like, for these girls. Like, that's not true for everybody. You can be a teenage mum and have an incredible family and life. I think they just picked people they knew would, you know, obviously right. show the huge downfalls of being pregnant right. as well. But there were the characters in Teen Mom 2. There was someone called Janelle, who I'm pretty sure everybody around America knows now. She was just awful. She never took care of her kid. Her mum always did. And,
oh, no.
And she went off and got married like 5 different times. And her
I
mom
don't think
was still
I ever
looking
watched
after the kid.
Teen
and
mom.
This poor kid. I was like, this poor little boy. And then there was another girl called Chelsea who always had amazing hair. And I remember her because one of our friends really fancied her, Luke, but I don't remember who it was.
Really?
Anyway, she always had this amazing, thick, lush, amazing hair. And I looked her up yesterday because I was like, I wonder where some of these people are now. And a lot of them have like 4 or 5 kids now. Like, yeah. They didn't
just
stop
got an early
at, like,
start.
You know, the one. They just kept going. And they're still a lot younger than me. And I'm like, man, if I had 4 kids by this Gosh. Age, I would be ripping my hair out. So, yeah, it was very eye-opening. And obviously, there are some people on there that they get themselves in situations and you're like, you should not be having a child. Because, like I said, there are some people, it's the making of them. And, you know, they have kids and they go on to flourish in life if they have kids young, but there are some people and it just is a disaster. And you know that MTV were picking the people that they thought were going to be disasters.
That's so. What I was going to say is, like, on the one hand, you know, I suppose it being a cautionary tale, you know, could be good. And I'm sure it's entertaining TV, but I never watched that show because it felt so exploitative to me and it just
I know,
felt
it does,
gross
yeah.
to watch. Because, yeah. I mean, that's I, like, that's serious business. This isn't just
oh,
some
yeah.
kid who wants to be in a band and makes a fool of himself. It's a
yeah,
100%. Kid involved.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of it. It was just one of those few things on MTV that I did see. And they got to a point with that Janelle person where I felt so sad for the kid that I definitely stopped watching because I was like, this kid is like 3 now and he can tell what's going on and you are a disaster. And
especially just knowing how the MTV shows are and how,
yeah, exactly.
like,
how
they
much
put
they
you in situations
stuff.
And
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. But Teen yeah, Mom. Yeah. So it was a fine line between, because some of them came from like rich families, so they were fine, and you know they could cope with the stress and
right.
all the trouble that comes with, you know, because having a baby is fucking hard, I bet. So, you know, it's the rich ones, they did it for balance, I think, but it was interesting to see how having a baby so young affected different people. But yeah, I would definitely. Exploitation at its finest, 100%. Yep. So yeah, number 2 for me was that. What's your number 2,
you, Finn?
My number 2 would be Next. Do you guys remember this
Next.
Show?
Next, yes, I forgot Next about is. That. I totally forgot about that show.
Come on, man.
I know.
I know. Oh, I'm sorry. God. I didn't have MTV.
Jeez, how could Next? You forget about Next?
I don't know. It was
so.
A very...
I'll explain it for anybody
yeah,
who's not familiar.
Explain
Give
it.
The rundown.
For us
so it was a dating show. Around this time on MTV, it's like 2005-ish, they had several shows that involved a bus.
Yes, they
dating
loved buses.
In a bus. There was Tail Daters, Room Raiders.
Tail Daters, ooh.
Parental Control, Date wow. My Mom sometimes involved a bus or a motor vehicle, and then there was Next. So the way Next worked is they had a bus. The show was called Next, and it said Next on the side of the bus, and they would pull up. There'd be one person whose job was to basically pick a date, and they could choose to end the date at any time by saying Next. Like, you know, if they just didn't like something you said or they weren't feeling it, and so then at the end of the show, they could choose to either continue to go on the date with the person that they didn't next, or they could take the prize, which was like $50 or something, because
yeah,
they
much.
Had like no budget.
No.
And the fun part of the show is just how they would next people.
Yes.
Like sometimes they would just, they would say next as soon as the person stepped off the bus, you know, just based purely on looks or something. And, but the part I really liked was how like super fake the writing was for the contestants. They would have a bio. It'd be like, Luke, 26 years old, can tie his shoes with his butt. it was always that this kind of, you know,
some wild fact.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot.
Peed his pants in front of his grandma 42 times, you know, and, you know, wants to be an exotic dancer or something like that. And then when they, when someone got nexted, they would have some like super fake contrived, you know, line and response, like, you know, I would next Luke, and then they would cut to him saying like in really contrived way, like, whatever, he just isn't ready for all the loving in this oven, and like walk away all sassy.
Like a cheesy one-liner.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Amazing. That sounds so fabulous.
And I almost got to ride on the next bus once because a guy I knew did a bunch of, you know, back then, like Viacom's motion graphics were fucking fire. Like the intro sequences for all those shows were so good. And he did a lot of that stuff. So he knew a bunch of the Viacom people. And I went to go have a drink with him in Venice once. And he was like, oh, dude, you just missed it. The next bus was here like 5 minutes ago. And I was so mad. This is like, you know, this is the moment that I'm going to, on my deathbed, I'm just going to look back and say, I wish I would have met up with Justin 5 minutes earlier.
Yeah, sliding doors.
I could have been on the next bus.
Didn't get on that damn next bus. What a letdown. What a real letdown.
I never saw it. I'm going to have to
look
back.
Yeah, when I'm at the gates of heaven, I'll just be saying, please, just let me, just give me one more day just so I can get on the next bus.
Do you have the next bus?
Is it here? Can I have a quick ride?
Oh, that's fun. That's so funny. I totally forgot about that show. What a ridiculous show. The one-liners were the best. It's so fun.
Okay, Luke, number one.
Number one, legendary show. I got to have Jackass at one. It's hard for me to remember the difference between the show and the movies, I'll be honest. It all kind of runs together to me. But Jackass was just a, which obviously spawned, I think, Viva La Bam. So that's why I had Viva La Bam lower. But Jackass was just, I mean, the crew they had, the people were just, I mean, Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O alone, and then Ryan Dunn and Bam and all the ridiculous characters. I mean, they were just incredible. Like, it was so funny. I was looking through some of the old clips just to, like, to try and remember some of the other stuff. Like, I watched, do you remember when Johnny Knoxville tried to ride the rocket thing? It was like this big red rocket, and they shot it off, and he was supposed to just ride it as high as he could before he fell into the water. And so the first time he's wrapped around, he's just literally holding on like this, and the thing explodes like outwardly when he's trying to go off, and literally there's like shrapnel that came through like next to where his arm was, and it did like, and he was fine.
But it would have impaled him.
Yeah, it would have like probably, I mean, I don't know if it would have killed him, but it definitely would have hurt him. And so he just gets back on and does it. They fix it, and he does it, and he just rides this rocket and then falls into the water. It was insane.
I feel like I never saw stuff where they were like bashing their balls with things.
Oh, yeah. That stuff was always, they loved a good ball bashing. But that stuff, the funnier stuff to me was the big elaborate, like, ridiculous prank. Like, there was one, I don't know if it was for the movie or the show, but they had this giant hand built into the wall on a spring, and it was like a 5 foot long hand, and it would like, someone would walk down the like just walk down the hallway, and then they would release it and just smack the shit out of them walking
surprise
down the hallway.
See,
and they had
funny.
No idea it was coming. Hilarious. Just a hell, like, who
so
thinks
funny.
Of that? So funny.
I think my favorite moment on Jackass was again, I don't remember if it was the movie or the TV show, but they were hanging people from a tree by a jock strap.
Oh yeah.
Yes,
and there was, I think it was Steve, I don't remember who, like, it was so stretched out and so up his
yeah, like the ass atomic cracked, wedgie, yeah.
Yeah, there was like poop and blood on it.
I think it was Steve-O, if I remember right.
Oh, that makes me feel a bit, ooh.
And just like, I remember walking through the mouse traps and stuff. Like, are you kidding? Yeah. Like, these people would do, like, they're just so ridiculous.
I couldn't
watch
it a lot
care.
Of the time because it made me too, like, ugh.
And I get like that. Like, I get cringy about stuff like that. Like, they had a show on another MTV show. It was like, I think it was MTV, where they had like all the breaking of the ankles. Like, it was like they would just get destroyed.
Oh, scarred.
Like, scarred, yeah.
Yes.
With Jacoby from Papa Roach.
Yes,
dude, I could not watch that. Oh, yeah, that's right. He hosted that. I could not watch that show.
We also had a British version. Well, we had a Welsh version of Jackass. We had some guys from Wales do a TV show called Dirty Sanchez, which I think was also on MTV.
Mm. I remember that, yeah.
It might be called Team Sanchez in America. But they were basically Jackass, but like Welsh guys, yeah. And they were nuts. They would.
Can you explain Wales to me?
It's just a country within the UK.
But nobody ever talks about it. And
oh, really?
I think people don't
Wales.
Even know it exists.
Yeah, of course they do. The UK is made up of England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales.
Come on. How many Americans off the street in Ohio think know Wales exists?
I only know about Wales because of soccer players from Wales. That's the only reason I know of it.
Yeah, Gareth Bale. Yeah. I love Wales.
Their accent's hilarious.
I love the Welsh accent. I'm obsessed with it.
Hilarious is probably the wrong word, but for an American,
yeah, that's a bit mean.
Anyway, just used to my white bread.
I love your accent; it's so funny.
Yeah, it's hilarious to me. I'm a white bread Midwestern Ohio kid.
The Welsh people are known for being a bit wild, I think, and so the guys who did Dirty Sanchez, like the Jackass equivalent, did some pretty outlandish stuff. But it's the kind of stuff that I couldn't really watch because it makes me too. I just feel uncomfortable watching it a lot of the time.
It's a little brutal.
Funny though, but
I just love Johnny Knoxville specifically.
Yeah, Johnny Knoxville is brilliant.
So funny.
Okay, my number one is The Hills.
Oh, The Hills.
Had to put that in there. I was obsessed with The Hills when it first came out. For those that don't
clarify really quick. Was it a real show or was it a staged show? Like,
It's not a sitcom.
Like, was it a reality show? Like, they filmed real life?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like the OC.
So there was originally a show called Laguna Beach, which followed like teenagers in Laguna Beach, which is in Orange County in California. So very, very rich kids. And then The Hills followed one of them, Lauren Conrad, when she moved to LA to try and, you know, make it in the fashion industry. She was going to FITM and doing an internship at like Teen Vogue, lucky for some. it followed basically her life, and then she had a friend in it called Heidi, who started out as her friend and then just flew off the deep end. And obviously, I mean, I think it kind of showed the reality of moving to Hollywood. You're either very secure with who you are and you're like, this is me, I'm just going to get on with life, or you go and realize that you are actually quite insecure and you get shit tons of plastic surgery and end up looking like a blow up doll.
Poor
and
Heidi,
that is what
man.
Happened to Heidi. And Lauren stayed the same. So I mean, honestly, if you look at her in season one and then look at her in the last episode or whatever, it is horrifying. They even did an episode. So she actually got really obsessed with plastic surgery, and she was known for having, like, I don't know, 60 operations in one day or something.
Oh, my gosh.
And she's from, like, Colorado, like, super simple family. Her mom didn't like that she'd, like, moved to, like, L.A. or whatever anyway. And after she'd had so much work done, she flies home to like recuperate, and the way they filmed this was brilliant. They don't show you Heidi's face.
Oh no.
They show you like getting to Colorado, going up to the front door, and her mom opening the door, and her mom literally sees her and goes hi and then just bursts into tears.
She
looks so fucking awful.
That's so sad.
It's so sad. And then you finally see Heidi's face when she sits down, and her mum's like, so what? And her sister's there, like, go. And she's like, what have you had done? And she's like, I've had my nose reshaped. And she's like, why are you whispering? And she's like, oh, because of some work I had on like my jaw or something. And it is shocking. I was just like, what has this girl done? Like, and her mum is so upset by it. And she's like, I remember her being like, I feel like nobody could look like original Heidi in the world, and now you look like, you know, anyone that's ever had plastic surgery, they all look the same, don't they?
Yep.
So it was just like to see the progression of that, and it was because of the awful guy she was dating, and you wanted to be like, how is no one intervening in this? Why are you letting this happen? Because obviously that, you know, once again, exploitation.
Sucks.
But the
it's the same thing as in music, right? When you see someone who's like clearly destroying themselves, but it's, you know, it's working for their career, and nobody on their team is going to say anything because that's their paycheck.
100%. Yeah. It was just, but anyway, The Hills itself was actually a great TV show. It was mostly, you know, about who they're dating and all that stuff, and drama between girls, because there always is, over boys. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And there was a couple of seasons where you were just like in disbelief that, because one guy would be dating two of them, and you'd be like, when this comes out, because obviously they film at the time of their filming, they probably didn't know. And then you come out and you see that he's doing that, and you're like, and then one of them goes on to like marry him, and you're like, you saw him trying to date other people and lying to you and using the same flowers for both of you. And you're like, this is just mind blowing to me. And obviously some of it is scripted and not real.
Was it the big finale of The Hills where Elsie is like, you are a sucky person?
He's a sucky person. He did a sucky thing.
yes, that's right. Yeah. And I really like that, because it just, you know, this is her at her most like enraged, when I would just say the most horrible, rotten things. But she seems like such a sweet person that's the worst thing she can come up with.
That's the worst she could do. She came from a very, she was brought up, you know, I don't think she was brought up to swear, and her parents didn't love that kind of stuff, and I don't think they loved her being on The Hills. But actually, one of my strangest memories of the show is she's obviously fallen out with Heidi because she doesn't like who Heidi's dating, and she goes home because she's like kind of sad. So she goes back to Laguna Beach to see her mum, and her mum's making her a sandwich, and she's like there, and she has like the tomatoes already sliced up, and she's making a sandwich. She says, I'm doing it just like you, like I'm cutting out the middle of the tomatoes. But she was doing it to each individual slice.
Wow.
I'm like, did your mum just not want to like scoop it out and then cut up the tomato? Like, is she like not that clever? It was the strangest thing.
She's doing the best she can, okay?
It was literally like, she literally had this slither of tomato cutting out the middle, and I'm like, oh my god, this is blowing my mind and making me so angry at the same time. Anyway, The Hills was absolutely amazing. I was obsessed with it for a few years, and then Lauren left because she just didn't want to do it anymore, and they got Kristen Cavallari or whatever her name is back in, and I cannot stand that woman, so I stopped watching it then. But
Elsie has a very successful career in fashion now. She's made she's become a very successful entrepreneur. She seems like a lovely person.
Yeah, she's done very well for herself, and she stayed level-headed and has never done, you know, any more reality. You could tell she just doesn't really like the world of it. And what was I going to say? And then Spencer kind of lost his mind for a bit. There's an episode where he's super into crystals, and by the end, and someone's making him mad, and he's holding a giant crystal on his head. And I'm like, okay, this guy is literally losing it. And then they actually had to.
Or maybe he was right all along. Maybe we should be holding crystals to our heads.
Maybe we should be.
Maybe that's my problem.
It's a very successful gif, I think. But he kind of lost it a bit, and then they actually banned him from filming because he literally went a bit loopy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, not good for them. But, you know, whatever. They're fine now. And I think they do it now again. I think The Hills is up again now. They've started up again. But not for me now. But back in the day when I got back from Australia, didn't have a job, and it was on the TV, I was obsessed. Mm-hmm. I'd look forward to it every day. So that was my number one. I spoke about that way too much. Finn, your number one.
We'll cut it
my
all
number
out.
One
no worries.
Is... What's that?
So he just said he'll cut all of out. Me out.
No, I'm here for it. This is my kind of content. In-depth discussion of The Hills.
Yeah, of The Hills.
My number one is The Real World, the granddaddy of all reality shows. You guys are probably too young to remember when it came out, because I was pretty young. Came out in 91, I think.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
yeah.
That's when it started. Been for me.
Yeah, and it's so interesting how you can sort of see them discover the formula for reality TV show in, like, season two, I think. So season one was in New York, and they picked some, you know, interesting, cool people who were, you know, represent. Like, there was a nice girl from the Midwest who just moved to New York who wanted to be a dancer, I think. There was a guy who was just going to school for like finance or something and didn't really talk that much. And it was like, it was cool because it was different at the time. But if you were to watch it now, you'd be like, this is so boring because there's no drama.
Yeah, they did.
And then on season two, they got this guy on named Puck, who is, this is in San Francisco, and they had, he was a bike messenger. And he was, you know, the prototypical, like, unstable shit starter that would just basically, start fights with everyone. And it got super popular. And then you could tell they're like, oh, this is what you do.
Right.
You got to have one or two of these people who will just like
start,
like set everything on fire, and all we need to do is just put our cameras there and watch. You know, the show, I think, became more of a, the first season of the show was just sort of a, you know, sort of a...
was literally the real world.
Yeah, exactly, which is interesting to me because I like boring things, but I think, you know, obviously what we've learned is more marketable is drama.
Sure.
And, you know, the real world invented all that. I really don't think people understand how revolutionary it was unless you remember when it came out. Like, it's hard to contextualize, like, everything on reality TV and half of YouTube just would not exist without the real world. So I legitimately think that was a total game changer for just like content in general, and super good show. I watched every season of it up until I think season 10 or so.
I remember the Seattle one. I just for some reason have a memory of the Seattle one, watching it on a Sunday or something. And actually the Seattle one is shown, she's watching it in a scene in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, well, that's filmed in Seattle also.
Yeah, that probably would be why. Maybe that's why it sticks with me. But I remember that being like a really memorable season for a bunch of people. And I don't remember why, but that's the one that sticks with me for some reason.
The only thing I remember from the Seattle season is when, I forget the characters' names, but there's one of the guys gets kicked off the show for slapping the girl because he's obviously like unstable and he gets just pissed off and they're arguing and he... You know, he slaps her in the face, and everyone's just like, "What the fuck, dude?" Like,
wow.
Time to leave.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That's not good.
But it was, you know, I think that was cool because, I mean, obviously not cool that he did it, but I think that they used that as a moment. I don't think they ever expected that, you know, any cast members would hit each other. Certainly not a man hitting a woman. And they used that as a moment to kind of really, they did a whole episode like talking about it and like, you know, here's why this is so disturbing to us. And here's why we immediately sent him home, which I think, you know, I think they made that as constructive of a moment as they possibly could. And I guess the show, I think it might still be around. It was as of at least a couple years ago, but just nobody cares now because now everyone's Instagram story is that.
Yeah, and it like Instagram and all that stuff, and even YouTube makes everything. It's kind of like the filming of the Kardashians. Like, everyone knows every second of their lives, and then it comes out 4 months later on TV. It's like, we've already know every single piece of this. Why do we need to see it again 4 months later? Kind of makes it a bit defunct, doesn't it? Did you have a favorite season of it? Was every season in a different city, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite one was, I think it was, I should have researched this better. I'm pretty sure it was New Orleans.
Nice.
And I remember having a big crush on one of the girls from that season, who I think she ended up being on Road Rules also. Like, she's some like blonde girl from the Midwest or something like that. And I'm pretty sure she seemed like a very nice person. She ended up being on Road Rules also, which is a very underrated show as well.
There's a lot. I think just doing this list, I learned there's a lot of freaking bangers that were on MTV during the
show. Yeah, so much content. Amazing.
I completely forgot about how many
great shows
there were.
And we didn't even mention like TRL or anything.
Right.
Dude,
what a time to be alive.
I did a video about MTV and, you know, the sort of consensus opinion on MTV is, oh, well, they were so much better when they played videos, which I completely disagree with. First of all, they played the same shitty videos all the time. It was fucking...
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the same 9 like TLC videos or whatever all day. So for one, it's not like you were getting access to great unheard music or something like that. I think people exaggerate that in their mind.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Second, like the TV shit that they came out with was legitimately like game changing. It's the template for everything that we think of now. You know, with internet content, they pioneered that shit. Like, what is punked or next? But like, you know, Smosh skit shows.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That's all it is.
Right. I feel it's all these other channels now have just kind of steered toward the MTV model. Like freaking History Channel is not about history anymore. Or like
it used to be at the beginning.
Yeah, it did, and now it's Discovery. About like and Discovery, and even like Food Network now. Their main content that is just like competition shows and reality type stuff, and which is MTV was just so ahead of the time doing that stuff, which is funny.
They figured out what people want, and
I wonder if they had like a lot of young people working for them, and that's why like they went with the younger crowd and was like, let's create some new wild ideas and see what happens. Because I love it when companies like embrace, you know, what the next gen wants to see. So
you think about the music video stuff, and I was like, oh, it was so, you know, it comes to music videos. But when you just think about how much content they pumped out during those prime years, man, like tons of
when it was way harder to make content than it is now.
Right.
I don't know about it on the production side or the content side, but I know for the graphics, basically the reason why Viacom's graphics were so good then is because they did exactly what you're saying, Flora. They just they found young designers and they're like, you can do whatever you want. We can't pay you very much because we don't have budgets, but you can do whatever the fuck you want.
That's awesome.
And so and then that became a chance for, you know, some young designer to have a TV credit, and maybe they only got paid $3,000 for something they should have gotten paid $20,000 for, but now they can have something on their in their portfolio that says it was for Viacom.
Yeah,
that's so awesome. True. Yeah, I love all of that. But, hey, MTV, innovators of the future. Who knew?
See, we did get a little introspective. We went a little deep. We weren't just surface level like you were.
Reminding us of our youths.
You know, we dove in there. We
got some respect on MTV's name, people. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, 100%. We'll end with just a couple of questions, and then we'll let you get on with your day because we kept you quite a long time. I have one that says, have you ever been mean about someone and then run into them in person afterwards? Are there any bands that you've been like, this doesn't work, and then you've met them and been like, hi?
No, because I have, I'm not 19. If I was 19, I probably would have done that. But, you know, I am an adult, and I also, you know, I already know a lot of the people or knew a lot of the people that I was talking about or they're friends of friends or something. So I've always gone into it assuming that the people I'm talking about will see it, because anybody in any kind of band in our world, you know, is a friend of friends. You know, I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you know someone in this band? No, but I'm certain that somebody I know does. So I'm always
of separation.
Yeah. I'm sometimes critical, but, you know, I think people can take criticism as long as it's respectful. If I said, hey,
100%.
I don't really think this worked out. I don't think this was great. Here's why. You know, people don't get upset about that. And if they do, that's their problem. So I don't feel bad about that. But, you know, I'm always careful not to be disrespectful for that exact reason, because it's just not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. We got one. Is there any magazines you'd like to write for someday? Do you have any like dream magazine writing jobs?
Yeah, is there anyone in general actually that you haven't written for that you think you could have a good input? Or I'm thinking like Rolling Stone magazine, if you think any of them are even legit anymore. I don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that magazines at this point, a magazine or a blog, like text content, is not where the action is. So that's the reason why I don't focus on it anymore.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s and the 2000s, magazines were awesome. I read tons of them, you know, and it was the equivalent of, you know, what YouTube is now. If you wanted to find out about some, you know, niche thing happening on the other side of the world that, you know, was kind of starting to make some noise, then you would find some obscure magazine and that's where you'd read about it. So there were tons of them. I mean, I was into like graffiti and video games and skateboarding and all, you know, back then it's just like YouTube channels. You go to the, you know, go to the bookstore and there'd be a magazine for every random thing you can think of, just like there's a YouTube channel for it now. So I wouldn't say that there's any magazines I would want to write for now. But back in the day, I don't know. I actually almost got a job at a magazine called Game Fan in like 1999, which was kind of the most kind of hardcore video game magazine back at the time. I interviewed for it and they told me I got the job and then they ghosted me. So fuck you guys.
Wow. That's brutal.
What? That's
brutal. Fuck you, Eric at Game Fan.
Yeah. I hope you hear this.
We'll end with that. Dick.
That was rude.
Don't be a dick.
On a serious note, yeah, we will end it there.
I like that. Thanks for hanging out with us and
joining
talking
us today,
shit on
Finn.
That guy.
Thanks so much for having me. All right, my friends, that does it for this episode of the podcast. If you made it this far, thank you. Thank you for listening. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. If you want to help the show, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, share it on social media. If you share it, tag us, tag Finn McKenty, that's me, and tag Deanna Chapman, that's a producer. Second thing you can do, if you really, really, really love us and really want to support us, you can support us on Patreon. There's a link to that in the show notes. You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you're listening to this, or you can do none of that. And you can just sit at home, think about how awesome this podcast is. That works too. Again, thank you very much to each and every one of you for listening. We sincerely appreciate it, and we'll see you next time.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan, and this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.